Oh, do I have a treat for you today, friend? This is a podcast episode that I recorded with a new and sweet friend of mine. Her name is Francine Ivy. You may know her in the online space. She's an incredible woman. She is a business coach and CEO of Consumed Coaching, where she and her team of coaches help Christians find their kingdom impact. She has such a powerful story, and you'll get to hear that here in a moment. And she's also going to share her wisdom of what it was like and what she learned and gleaned from the season of her life where she was raising up littles in the name of Jesus and building a wildly successful business from home. This interview is going to touch your heart. It's going to inspire you. It is going to pull on your heartstrings. I cannot wait for you all to meet Francine.
Hey, Coach. Welcome to the Bibles, Babies, and Business podcast. Are you ready to get more consistent, high-ticket clients in your online coaching business without having to go through exhausting flopped launches? Are you constantly searching for podcast episodes, looking for that key to unlocking $10,000 months in your business? Do you have big dreams of becoming debt-free, going on more family vacations, and staying home with your kids? But right now, your business isn't even breaking $2,000 a month? Hey there, I'm Cami. I'm a Christian, a wife, and a soon-to-be mom. A few years ago, before I was known for being a high-ticket sales expert for online coaches, and before I founded my program, High Ticket Powerhouse, which offers some of the best marketing and sales strategy in the coaching industry, I was just your average online coach, struggling to get by. I didn't know how to get clients, make consistent money online, or get out of the painful cycle of living paycheck to paycheck and drowning in debt. And to make matters worse, my husband and I were struggling through years of infertility and needed tens of thousands of dollars to grow our family. Oh, and on top of that, student loans and credit card debt. Needless to say, financially, we were a sinking ship. My business needed to make money. My family depended on it. That's when I discovered the art of how to close high-ticket sales. And the best part? You don't need thousands of Instagram followers or ever have to struggle through another duct-taped Instagram launch ever again. In this podcast, you'll find practical sales strategies to use in your own coaching business, biblical principles for the Christian entrepreneur, and a healthy dose of tough love. Because one thing you need to know about me, I don't sugarcoat it. My ultimate goal is to turn you into an absolute powerhouse at selling your high-ticket coaching online so you can be a blessing to your family, a blessing to your clients, and create life-changing impact for the kingdom of heaven. So grab your Bible, your laptop, and let's get to work. Because you were made for this.
Francine, I'm so excited to have you here on the show. I didn't tell you this before we hit record, but listening to your voice puts me like in a calm state of mind. Has anybody ever told you that before?
More often lately. And so that makes me feel so good because I was once, one time, years and years and years ago, critiqued about my voice. And so now all of a sudden I'm getting that, and it's encouraging. So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm so excited to get to have this conversation. Y'all, this is Francine Ivy. She's the CEO of Consumed Coaching, something that you're going to get to hear more about. And what I'm specifically eager to myself sit in the student seat here for a moment and listen to Francine about is Francine has done what we are all here aspiring to do, which is run a life that is Bibles, babies, and business. And you know, the name of this podcast, keeping the Lord first, stewarding over the family that he's given us, but also stewarding over the business that he's given us as well. And it can feel so overwhelming. I was telling her right before we hit record that, like, man, I'm 6.5 weeks out from delivering this baby girl, this miracle of a child. And I'm finding myself stressed, which is, I mean, to some degree, natural and normal to kind of feel that nesting coming on. But like, man, for somebody who's done it, can you give me some wisdom as to like, what is the season that I'm about to step into? But we're going to get into all of that first. I'd love for you just to tell the audience Who is Francine? What is Consumed Coaching? How did the Lord call you to this space?
Wow. So who's Francine? I am a military brat, spent most of my days in Asia. And so my introduction to America was really, although young, but my formative time was in Asia. So when I came over, my introduction was really in sixth grade into America. So lived on military bases, had all of that. Only child. So motherhood was a whole new thing because I had three, right? And we live in Dallas, Fort Worth. I have three amazing kids. One is now 28, one is 23, and one is 18. So we're kind of past all those years, but so I hope that my story as I go through it encourages you because they've all turned out amazing. So
Absolutely. Yeah, that's so awesome. And we were chatting a couple of weeks ago, and I was enthralled hearing your story about the ups and downs, the good times and the challenging times of running a business and managing a home, that it can be done in an excellent state. It doesn't have to be done perfectly. And I'm excited for you to dive deeper into that. Can you touch on what did it look like for you to go to create Consumed Coaching? What is Consumed Coaching? What is the mission that you guys stand for?
Yeah. So, actually it all started in a pretty hard time and a hard season for us. January of 2017, my husband was a pastor. We had an incredible day at church. My daughter was leading worship. My son, actually, we find out later that he gave his life to Christ at the altar that morning. My other daughter had just turned 21, was on a cruise with my best friend and her best friend. So we really were on top of the world. I was running a business that I'd been running for 12 years, extremely successful. And then full-time ministry started a church. We were traveling and speaking and doing all of those things. And, so we got home that afternoon eating lunch. The kids had all left the table and, we're having this discussion. And my husband looked at me and he said, "Man, this is the day of the Ivies," and, Ivy being our last name. And I was like, "What do you mean by that?" And he said, "Well, I just couldn't be happier with where our family is right now." And little did I know I would need those words so badly in just a few hours. And he went to the store. I stepped into at that time, we weren't in Zoom all the time. So we were on a conference call. I was with my team and working with them. And I stepped out at the end of that to him not being home yet. And I thought, you know, I'll go to the kids and find out where Dad is, because I know the store was just around the corner. And they said Dad hadn't come home yet. And I grabbed my keys, took off. And as I rounded the corner, I saw fire trucks and the big semi, and was soon to find out my life was crumbling around me when I found out a semi went through too fast through an intersection. It was in that moment that almost everything I had was just kind of crumbling to the floor. And I remember telling God in that moment, I was making my way. Everybody was at the house at that point. I had already sat down with the kids, and I looked at my best friend and I said, "I need to go get alone for a minute." And I remember stepping into the master bedroom and I just kind of crumbled to the floor. I told God, I said, "I have a choice to make right now. My choice is I stop. Like, I go crawl in the bed, I throw the covers over my head, and I say, I'm done. I did everything right. You know, we were running our business together. We were running the ministry together. We prayed. We had a great marriage. We did all the good things, right?" And so I could go cover my head and nobody would blame me. Or I can choose, God, to cling on to you right now. And I made that choice. I was like, "I need you." And so as the tears were hitting the carpet, I told him, I said, "If you'll just take my tears and this pain that felt so physical in the moment, and use it for your glory, then I'll give it to you." And, little did I know he was going to take me up on that. And it was not easy. I was, you know, going through the motions. 4 days after the funeral, God literally tells me to go live on Facebook. Facebook was the big, that was the big thing. Periscope was going away. Facebook Live was coming up. My husband was doing a Devo in the mornings. And so I stepped in there and I turned on his microphone and I turned on the camera. It was raw and real, just tears and messy tears and just me being me. And I said, this is where we're at. This is where God's meeting us. And this is how he's healing us. And I figure 50 of my friends would watch and I'd be done with that. And I stepped away from the camera. And before midnight that night, 34,000 people had watched the video. I was getting messages from behind all evening, just saying, I've always wondered why bad things happen to good people. I'm hurting too. Just the raw and realness of where I was. And I ended up going live for about 3.5 years every morning. And I walked people through the grief. Well, it was in that time that God began to show me what coaching was and the power of coaching. I got my first certificate and then ended up getting many more. And then in March of 2021, started my own. I had already worked through a business, a corporate coaching business because of my sales background. So it really came out of a pretty hard time for me. But I've been amazed at what God's done because it really kind of set a place of me realizing I just had to be real, like no fluff. It's what I love about you, Cammy, is there's just being us, right? Just being real and being real with them.
Thank you for sharing that. And I've heard you talk about that story and it makes, I feel like my heart breaks every time I hear that story. And I'm also reminded of how God redeems such hard things in our life. And like in that moment, you're like, okay, God, If you can do this, if you can take this and you can use it for your glory, then I'll give it to you. And what a powerful thing to say in that moment. I don't know that if I would have the strength to say that in that moment. And so I'm just amazed that that was where your heart was at in that moment. And so in the midst of this and then going live so consistently for so long and ministering to so many people. And that's how the Lord introduced coaching into your life and into your world. So where did, at what point did it go from, hey, I go live on Facebook to this is a company, this is Consumed Coaching, and we have an offer and here's how we support people. When did that shift?
It was March of 2021. I had kind of used it a little bit in ministry, but I was really struggling when you've done ministry for so long, the thought of actually pricing something that you've done in ministry, that's probably the biggest hurdle a lot of people have when they start a coaching business is because, most likely they've been coaching and mentoring their whole life. Like this is not, yes, you get serious about knowing the gifting, having the tools and, you know, getting your certification and all of that, but most likely you've got a gift and that gift's been in play. And so I've seen a lot of new coaches struggle with pricing their coaching, but so I was struggling with that early on. So it really was more me ministering to people, but using the skill set that just blew me away when I took my first certification and realizing the power of coaching over just, you know, counseling somebody. And I'm not talking about therapists. They do incredible work in counselors, but as far as ministry counseling, there was just such power in asking the questions and watching transformation and all of that. And I realized that there was power in it. Then all of a sudden out of the blue, and this is how God kind of pulled me away from going live all the time. I had a company out of Nashville, reach out to me and it was a more corporate situation where we were dealing with Fortune 500 leaders and, we were teaching sales teams and, I became a sales coach because I had spent 12 years in a direct sales company where I was in the top 0.1% of my company. And so I had kind of that background as well. And I thought for sure when they reached out to me, I'm like, I'm not going to make it through the interviews. I don't know who they think I am. And there I was just passing every interview. And next thing I know, I was hired. in the first 3 months, I'm like coaching 10 different industries, major companies, people making lots and lots of, you know, their salaries way up there, really tweaking into, their goals, how they're going to reach them. And I watched the power of coaching because I had never been a financial advisor. I'd never been a mortgage leader. Yet I'm coaching these leaders and I'm watching them double their incomes. I'm watching them go on vacations without stress. I'm watching them have better relationships with their wives. Why? Because coaching works, right? And so it was a very secular situation. And so about 2.5 years into that, I realized I don't want to do this. Like I need to get back to my roots, which was faith-based, but I didn't really know how to do that. Because honestly, I was making a really good salary and I was, it was a good situation. It really was. January, my whole family had COVID. I'm having to watch this work thing. And I'm thinking, I'm miserable. I don't even want to be doing this. And God said, what are you going to do? And I was like, I want you in this. And so in March of 2021, I'm in a Bible study and God finally just flat out tells me, what's your non-negotiable, Francine? I said, you're my non-negotiable. He said, then start your own company. And I was like, I don't know how to do that. He said, you didn't know how to run a ministry either, but you did it because I did it. And in March of 2021, I gathered about 12 coaches and said, hey, let's just do this together because I don't want to do this alone. And this thing took off. And March 19th will be 3 years old. And we're amazed at what God's done.
That's such an incredible story.
Thanks.
So who does Consumed Coaching serve? Who is like your, to kind of use the lingo of the space, who is your ideal client?
Yeah. Kingdom entrepreneurs. These are people who really want to take their success and line it up with significance. They know they have a message and a story inside of them, but they're not real sure how to get it out there. And what we do is we help them develop that message and then the modality that they want to deliver it. And then ultimately, how they're going to monetize that. There's so many different ways for people to take their success, turn it into a story and a message and send it out. It's exactly what God did with me, even in the hardest time of my of my life.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. I have seen more lately because when I started in the coaching space back in 2019, I didn't even know a business coach from a Faith Weeks background or a Christian business coach was even an option that I could have hired. It wasn't even in my awareness. And now that I have stepped into the space for a few more years and, gotten deep into the space, it has been so cool to see how many people resonate with not only just running a coaching business, but running a coaching business that aligns with kingdom principles.
It was so scary. Like, the enemy would just fight me on actually stating we're unapologetically a faith-based Christian coaching team. And we preach spirit-led. I mean, we coach spirit-led and we are faith-based. I mean, everything in me told me that, there won't be a space for that. Like people, will be turned away from that. It's just the opposite, isn't it? Because I know you are that way too. So,
yeah. Ah, so cool. So cool. And then we get to meet other people that are doing similar work and hear how the Lord is speaking to them. I was telling a friend recently who is also a believer, also a business coach in the space. And she was telling me, she's like, oh man, Cammy, the Lord is speaking. And I was like, how is he speaking to you? Like, I want to hear it because even though like he's obviously speaking to you directly in a very specific situation in your life, it encourages my faith to hear how the Lord spoke to another person.
Yes.
Like that is so dang cool.
Yes.
Hearing that testimony. Awesome. So as you know, I'm about to enter into the season of motherhood for the very first time. And I'm so grateful. Like I've been waiting for the season for years. We waited 4 years. And just like everybody said, even though, I would roll my eyes, not really, but in my head, I would roll my eyes at their saying, well, God's timing is perfect. I'm like, well, God's timing is painful too.
Yes.
that's what I was thinking at the time, but really his timing is perfect. And I'm about to deliver this beautiful little girl in about 6.5 weeks. And she's doing my birthday. Like the Lord is just super blowing my mind right now. And I would be so lying if I said that there wasn't a little bit of me or a lot of bit of me that was, I won't say the word anxious, although maybe that I could use that word, but like anticipatory, like, oh, what's this going to be like? And part of that is the nesting. Part of that's me trying to get a whole bunch of things done in 6 weeks that probably don't even need to be done. But there's what I'm realizing is, because I've also been learning about the brain and the inner workings of how the Lord designed our brain. It's pretty wild. And our brain really resists new things. Mm-hmm. And I'm stepping into new. I was even telling my husband the other day, I was like, you know, becoming a parent, I was like, man, like the other big thing in my life was like the big new transition was getting married. But like, even so, we dated before and then we were engaged in like one day we were married and like, yes, it was different, but like, I knew what it was like to be in a relationship with you. There's literally going to be a day, honey, where there it's us. And then there's a whole nother human.
Yes.
and it's going to happen like that, like overnight. Yes. And my brain, if I don't reel it back in, can kind of go off on a spiral about that. How am I going to do this? Mm-hmm. And so I'd love to hear your wisdom about mm-hmm. like, what was it like? What did you learn? How did you make it through raising your children and running not just any business, but you're really were experiencing next level success in your career.
Mm-hmm. So, a couple of things come definitely to mind. One, give yourself grace. Absolutely. Give yourself grace and totally throw out the word balance, because it'll never feel balanced. It just won't. And people who tell you, you need to balance your life, well, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't really balance. At times you're going to be all in here, and at times you're going to be all in here. And every time balance, the word balance always came with guilt with me. And I'm like, I can't do that. And so you have to give yourself grace. Number two, be all there when you're all there. If you're at work, be all there. If you're with the baby, be all there, and it's okay. And don't feel guilty about what's not being done on one side or the other. Like, I decided to just be present. And now I knew I had to run on a calendar. I was running a very large business with 180 salespeople. And so there was a lot of things. So everything was on the calendar, but I put important things on my calendar, like date night with one of my kids. We've kept that every Friday. I have a date night with one of my kids. I still do. They're 28 and 18 and 23. And I still, every Friday, have a different date night with each child. And then we have a family date night where we're all together. And it's because each of them, I'm an only child, or yeah. And those three kids are so different, and their conversations were different. So it was important when they were young to have, even if it was just an hour, right, during a nap time, where my total focus was on them and what they wanted to do. Even now, I ask them, where do you want to eat? What do you want to do? And each of them is so different. And so that goes on my calendar, just like everything else. They know they're important. They're on mommy's calendar. And I say mommy, and they're full grown adults. They would just die if they heard that. But anyway, but they're on my calendar. And I think that was super important for us too. I made them a part of the goals that I was making, and they always had a prize when mom reached certain goals too. So they were rooting with me as well. And so they were wanting mommy to hit certain goals, because they knew that meant, you know, later on it was like a trip to Disney. Early on, it was, you know, a trip to Pizza Hut, right? That's just what I could afford, but it was whatever it was they won too. Not just me.
Wow. That's such a great idea, is like making them feel a part of it. And hey, you know, I'm going to reach this goal. And when I do, we get to go do, or we get to experience XYZ thing.
Yes.
That's cool. Did somebody tell you that? Or did you come up with that?
Oh yes. Yeah. I made sure in my life I had both sides. I had women who were wanting children to remind me how important it was that I was here. And I always had women in my life that were empty nesting to remind me how important it was that I was there. I tried really hard. I didn't always do it not to wish my moments away. Yeah. I'll be able to do this when. No, I'm in this moment, right? I'm in this moment. And I'm not going to wish them out of the house. I'm not going to wish them into school. I'm not going to wish them, you know what I mean? You can totally wish all that away. And I think it helped me to have people all around my life and allowing the right voices to speak into where I was. So
yeah.
And being present.
How old were your children when you, well, you shifted in the, you were in, you said network marketing. Mm-hmm. And so how old were your children when you started that venture?
Let's see, that would have been, I should have figured this one out. I had not had my third yet. So he was like born into it. Okay. The other two, I think my oldest was, yeah, she was around 10. So I must have been pregnant at the time. So.
Okay. Okay. So you had entered into this and had you worked at home before? What did you do prior to entering into network marketing?
Well, I've been an entrepreneur my whole life. So when I was 17, I owned my first business. So, me and a partner opened a business when I was 17. So I had done a few things, none of them extremely successful, at the same time working different jobs. And then we were in ministry for a long time, which, evangelism, traveling, keeping up with all of that. So we did that for a long time. I wasn't actually looking for something when network marketing came to me. It actually kind of just landed in my lap. It really was a God thing. And almost quit before I started, but anyway, but it was such an important season of my life to learn so much about leadership and so much about who I was and my capabilities.
Okay. Yeah. That's pretty dang incredible. And so when you first started in the network marketing space, like you had already had experience from an entrepreneurship perspective, mm-hmm. but this is like kind of, this is a little bit unique in the sense that, like, I mean, network marketing is a unique field in and of its own. You can do it all from home. You can do it from your phone or from Wi-Fi or laptop. Mm-hmm. Did you have this like learning curve? Did any of it feel like it came natural? Was there a lot of trial and error? Yeah, I know that you gave us some really great practical things like grace, date nights with kids, bring them into the business. Was there ever like a season where you were like, oh man, and or even like feeling like second guessing it, like this feels really hard, am I really called to do this?
Yes. I remember this one time when a pretty major event was happening in my company. I was actually teaching on stage and it happened to hit my oldest daughter's birthday. And I had been requested to teach. What do you do? And honestly, I made the choice to take her the weekend before on a trip. And then afterwards, we did something and I thought I had done good. And I sent her flowers on her birthday. But I was not home. She will still tell you at 28. She said, I would have done better if you had not sent me flowers. And I just remembered the two events, but the flowers made me mad that you weren't with me. And so, yeah, there were lots of times that, you know, you think you're doing all the right things. And that's where the grace has to come in. And that's where, if I looked back on that moment, I wish I'd just had a conversation with her and said, here's mom's dilemma. This is a big moment for me, but I would be willing to give up this moment. If I had known what she was feeling, I probably would have changed it. I probably would not have gone. But there were other times where she didn't feel that. And I did have a discussion with her and maybe it was because we had the discussion. I think I would have more conversations with them when those places that didn't align, like I couldn't figure out how to make them align.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. And I'll ask some kind of specific questions because like, these are the questions that come through my mind. How did you find time? I mean, did you get up early and do your work? Did you do it in the middle of the day? When did you find time to do what you needed to do, not just to scrape by in the business, but to excel in the business? Amidst having children at home.
Yeah. Late at night. I really did. My kids were homeschooled on top of that. I was homeschooling too, which in some ways was a good thing because they were homeschooled. And so we could adjust their schedule to what I needed. On the other hand, I had homeschool too. So, my mornings, I was not a morning person. I was not productive in the mornings. So I knew that it would be late at night. And so I would put headphones on at my computer. And if I was needing to watch videos or if I was needing to create things, that would be done late at night. If I was running numbers or having to do things. And then, you know, I would tag team with my husband, but of course, just like anything, especially direct sales in the earlier time of that, he did not understand it. So he was not very supportive in the beginning. Of course, when the checks started coming in, he got much more supportive. So, and then, you know, we were able to tag team some stuff. Late at night was a lot of things that I did. I would say I lost some sleep trying to get it all done.
I can imagine. That's what I hear about the season of motherhood. You're going to lose some sleep.
Yes.
You're going to lose some sleep.
But it will be so worth it. It will be so worth it. Yeah.
I've been sleeping really good this pregnancy. And so the Lord's been allowing me to, like, if I could just bank some sleep, if I could just put it in a little bank account and bank some for later. That's really helpful. What word of encouragement would you give to the woman who is knee deep in that season? And she's trying to do the grace. She's trying to do the schedule, but it just feels like she's running uphill or trudging through mud. What encouragement would you give to her?
Don't be weary in well-doing. If you're called to it, I promise it's better than you think it is. And you're doing better than you think you are. In the midst of it, I thought I'm failing at everything several times. Yet I was excelling at it all. I told you my 18-year-old son now walks in. He walked in yesterday with almost tears in his eyes and looked at me and said, "Mom, I'm so proud of you. You work so hard and you've excelled at everything you've done. Don't think we don't notice." Now, that's not what he was saying when he was six, right? And pulling at me and saying, "Mommy, don't work," right? And it was tough because sometimes I had to. Sometimes I just stopped and did things with him. It's never going to feel like, oh, I finally have this balance and it's all good and everybody's happy. It's not going to get like that, but you absolutely are doing better than you think you are.
Yeah. Someone definitely needed to hear that. I'm going to remember that in about 10 weeks. I'm going to be like, I'm doing better than I think I am.
Yes.
So one last like really, really specific question as we kind of wrap up here. So as like your children obviously went through lots of different stages of childhood as you were growing this business, and then you stepped to another type of role in the corporate space and now, you know, in the coaching space. So when did you know that, hey, it's time for a little shift in a routine? Because I would imagine that like the routines that you had when you had, you know, your 10-year-old and then you were pregnant with your third and there was a child in there in the in-between ages is probably not the schedule that you ran the entire time. So how did you know when it was time for a routine shift?
And there's something else that I want to mention too. When you get to a point that you can get the housework off your plate, get a housekeeper, learn, bring in help, delegate some stuff off. There are some moms out there that really believe that keeping the house clean, cooking every meal, being at every soccer practice makes me mom. Those aren't necessarily things that make you mom or not mom. It's the time that you are with the kids. So I started, we got a housekeeper as soon as we could. I quit picking up my groceries. I got them delivered. There were certain things that I took off my plate and it made me no less of a mom. It made me more of a mom. And so I really want to encourage that.
Yeah.
Because you can even get a 20-year-old down the street to do some of these things that aren't necessarily making you a mom or breaking you as a mom. The mom time is you and that kid. And if you can do that, because I think we have kind of a cultural idea of what mom is and they think it's the perfect home that looks like nobody lives in it. And, you know, all of that kind of stuff, you're going to have to release yourself at times on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think about like the Proverbs 31 woman and And there's a lot of discussion around, like, you know, she seems really perfect. And there's a lot of discussion around, like, the principle of, like, the Proverbs 31 mom rather than the perfection of her. And yeah, I could totally feel that. Like, I, in this season, and I'm saying this as a woman who does not have children, or I do have a child in the womb. I'm not running after this child yet. It's relatively easy for me to keep my house clean. Like, when my husband comes home, like, the house is pretty much clean and we don't really dirty it. I mean, now that will require me to die to my ego here very soon. So I really appreciate, like, what you said there is, like, there is a little bit of a cultural, like, what is mom? And I love being able to take care of my home and realizing that, like, eventually I can't do it all. Even if I'm able to manage it right now, when I don't have a little one crawling on the floor, it doesn't mean it's always going to be that way. And so, like, accepting help and realizing that it doesn't make you any less of a mom.
Absolutely. 100%. Absolutely.
Okay. Very cool. So kind of back to that question, when did you realize, in kind of going off of the accepting help question, like, when did you realize that, hey, it's time for a routine change, or it's time to bring in some help, or, hey, what was working for us as a family and in the business is no longer currently working. It's when we need to pivot. What were your tall tale signs that, like, that was happening, me to make an adjustment?
Yeah. You would see communication begin to kind of falter. Like, I would notice an irritation in the family, or feel one of us would start to feel pulled on, or, we're real sensitive to one another. Dinner is a big deal to us. We don't hit it every night, but we try to sit around a table at least, you know, 3 times a week. I mean, even now, but so that some conversation can be made. And I'm quick to ask them, you know, what are you happy about? And I'm a coach, right? So, you know, what are you happy about in the house? What's really making, what are you grateful for? What are some things that you wish were a little different? Now, I didn't always trigger off of those things, because sometimes they're just kids, right? And they have wishes and wills, but it's not possible. But many times it was instigated by some of those conversations that I purposely had. And to be honest, staying away from this phone thing and not scrolling because I'm tired, and going ahead and having some of those conversations is a big, big, big deal. It would be easy for me to get lost in that after a fairly long day, right?
Yeah.
Any depression or something. So.
Absolutely. That's so profound. Like, and it's so simple, and yet, like, ask, yeah. If, like, how are they, like, they'll tell you. My mom always says, you know, kids are very honest.
Yes.
She loves to, like, decorate the home. And she said, I remember one time she painted the kitchen, like, a deep burgundy red. And anytime we'd have, like, a little friend come over, she'd always say, hey, come into the kitchen. What do you think of this wall? And she said, kids are the best at giving honest answers. Yeah. And they don't mean it in anything other than just a neutral fact. Like, this is what I think. Yes. So yeah, that's so profound. Like, just sitting around the table, creating an environment where it's safe to communicate, and, you know, being able to filter out that, well, you know, the whole, like, I want chocolate for every meal type of, yes, request, but realizing that, like, there are some very reasonable, rational requests in there, and we can accommodate to those. So that's super cool.
Francine, filtering that request.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sometimes you have to filter that request through what is it that they're really saying?
Mm. Right?
Because sometimes kids will say it a certain way because they're frustrated or whatever, but you know actually what it is that they, what they're requesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe, oh, I want chocolate for real. Tell me more about that. What is it about chocolate? Yes. What do you love about that?
Yes.
Why are you desiring that? Tell me where it's coming from. Yeah. Yes. Asking deeper questions. Very, very good.
Yeah.
Well, Francine, thank you for your time. I appreciate you. And I'm so excited for our audience to listen to this. And because it's something that I know that I needed, obviously, but also I know that my listeners, the moms that are listening here, are so encouraged by this. So where can people come hang out with you, find you, learn more about Consumed Coaching? Where are you at here in the world?
Yeah. So Instagram, if you want to grab me over there, if you're on Instagram, I'm also on Facebook. Francine Ivey, Ivey, is the last name. I'd love that. ConsumeCoaching.com, if you want to know anything about what we do over there, is the best ways to connect. And if you want to come and find me and Cami, we'll be on YouTube too. So
very cool. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Francine. It was such a pleasure.
Same.
Hey, Coach. Thanks so much for tuning into today's episode. I hope you got exactly what you needed to hear, even if it stung a little. Every week, I am committed to showing up here on the show and bringing you not one, but two value-packed episodes to help you grow deeper in your faith, build a profitable coaching business, and become an absolute powerhouse at getting high-ticket coaching clients online. And the number one way that you can support the Bibles, Babies, and Business podcast is by taking 30 seconds to leave me a review on Apple Podcasts and then share this show with a friend. Thank you for partnering with me to get these episodes out to as many online coaches as possible, because the world needs more powerhouse women building online coaching businesses for the kingdom of heaven. I appreciate you, I love you, and I'll see you in the next episode.